and now I will be happy to answer your questions.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star or asterisk key followed by the digit one. Please ensure the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star one to ask a question. We will now take our first question from Sven Weier from UBS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. It's Sven from UBS. Couple of questions from my side. First one, you already mentioned around systems margin cost overruns. So did I understand you correctly that you will still have cost overruns in the second half, or is it just that you don't expect to recover the cost overruns you had in Q2? That would be the first question.
Yeah, we don't expect that we can recover it in the second half of the year.
And will you have additional cost overruns, or is this problem sorted?
You know, that are very complex projects in which we are in there, and we are doing our best to manage that. From my point of view, it's sorted to 90%.
The second question is just on your order intake, which was again very strong. Was there already a positive influence at all from Midea, or is it still not included in your order intake?
There is nearly no Midea effect in. That's all organic KUKA, managed growth by KUKA. We are working in several work streams together with Midea, and that's really going fine. But, you know, in the order intake, we don't see a lot yet. But we expect that we will see more in second half of the year, or especially next year. It takes some time to develop the customers together and work on the synergies. There we are really confident that there will come much more. But what we saw so far is KUKA alone's organic growth by the largest extent.
And since you were just mentioning the order intake overall, and you said you expect stable sales year on year in the second half, how do you think about order intake? If you look at your pipeline overall, is it still a very good pipeline so that we could expect also stable order intake, or how would you manage our expectations on the orders in the second half?
Yeah, order intake will be fine, and we will have a book-to-bill over one at the end of the year is what we expect currently.
And the last question I have is just if you could provide us with a more specific regional breakdown of your revenues in systems and robotics, if that was possible.
Yeah, overall, in the regions, we only talk about KUKA overall, and the growth is very high in America. Yeah, especially fueled by systems, by our systems business, and we have a turnover in Americas of more than $1 billion for the full year. Yeah, so one third of KUKA business is generated in Americas. And there we have a double-digit growth, really very, very good position we have in systems, and see there a lot of projects in first half of the year. And that is the main reason for the negative cash flow, as you might be aware that the OEMs there are not paying milestone payments over the lifetime of such a project at the beginning. We are pre-financing this project mainly, and then get the customer payments at the end of the project. And that's then a negative effect on cash flow. But margins are quite good, better than in Europe in this region. Europe is difficult from an OEM point of view. There the market is really, really more difficult, stable. We don't expect too much growth there. And in China, Asia, we are doing fine.
And how do you read the fact that the U.S. is still strong despite the fact that the U.S. car market is, you know, weakening for some time now already? How do you square that up?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at, you know, we are not directly linked to the car sales numbers. We are linked to their investment cycle, to their CapEx. Their CapEx is our turnover in systems and our turnover in robotics. And they are still upgrading capacity. And that we see also for next year. And we have a very strong position in the U.S. We are clear number one there. And then a lot of these projects you see in our order intake.
Okay, understood. That's all from my side. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Now take our next question from Alexander Haustein from DZ Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Alexander Haustein from DZ Bank. I have a couple of questions. First of all, with regard to Swisslog, how much is the growth in warehouse logistics and how much is it in healthcare? Could you provide a split here, please? Maybe for this quarter, but maybe also a general comment. And the next question, also on Swisslog, you posted a nice DM order of about 100 million. Your press release says that you are responsible for the intra logistics and all construction activities. Is it right to assume then that your margin for this order is relatively low due to the take-in of construction work? And a follow-up here, is it common for Swisslog to accept with these kind of big-ticket orders a higher share of margin-dilutive construction work, or was that a kind of a special order here? And last question is with regard to the Augsburg site. There was a comment that you invest about 100 million over time. Could you provide us with some CapEx guidance for 17, 18, and 19 if possible? Thank you.
Yeah. The growth comes more or less all from logistics in Swisslog in the first half of the year. We expect that healthcare, which is a third of our Swisslog business, will catch up in the second half of the year. They did, healthcare have a low order backlog at the end of last year. Therefore, we have some delay in the higher margin business of healthcare. And they will catch up in second half of the year, and that will help the margin increase. Then the DM project, yeah, we are there building the whole warehouse, and then there is a lot of material we buy in, and that is not it's not helping the margin. We are doing such business that is normal Swisslog business in such big projects. Swisslog is an integrator mainly. And we don't do only the automation part in these big projects, but the overall turnkey solution we deliver. But what we are doing we have a PMR post merger integration project at Swisslog, and are confident that we are on track to deliver something like a 7% EBIT margin in 2020. And one decisive part there is not to work only as an integrator, also to have own products and own solutions on board at Swisslog. And that is what we are strengthening very much. We are spending a lot of more own R&D there for hardware and software solutions, and also are looking at some small M&A topics to get more product know-how on board in Swisslog, and that will help the margin. That is one of our PMI work streams on which we are working. And your third question was regarding to Augsburg and the CapEx. Yeah, we expect to have a CapEx spend this year around 125 million, more or less. And CapEx for next years should be around 4% of revenue. That is the rule of thumb what we guide. There may be the one or other special project over the next years where we might increase capacity, but that we will communicate when we are there.
So okay, thank you.
Yeah. Is the guidance.
Okay, thank you. Helpful. Could you comment a bit on or give an example or two about the projects that you're working on in terms of new products with Swisslog being integrated into the KUKA group? Yeah. Are you more working there on the vehicle side or more on the total systems part where you have some kind of weaker spots maybe that you want to fill, or how should we think about it?
Yeah, there are, for example, one competence important to us is to strengthen light good competence. We are really good at Swisslog with pallets, but light goods is a very fast growing area, and there we get organic and unorganic competences into Swisslog. That is one example. Other example is the IoT. We are working on software IoT solutions for the warehouse. Also, or to bring cobots in into projects to somehow automate all the picking and storing and taking out of the warehouse products more automated. Yeah, that is one of the solutions we offer in the DM project. Or that we are trying to get costs down, vertical integrate Swisslog further, get competences about some, how are they called, this bands into conveyors into the group. Or change our footprint, the global footprint, to bring Swisslog locations to KUKA locations, to put them together. On such things we are working. And there we are fully on track.
Okay, thank you. Are you also working on some sort of drone-like support tools, I would say?
No.
Okay, thank you.
We will now take our next question from Philippe Lauren from Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Monen. Philippe Lauren from Berenberg here. One quick question as a follow-on for Swisslog. I was just wondering, you were mentioning that you were planning as well some acquisitions, probably looking at the software side of things. I was just wondering, after the acquisition of Forte back in 2015, and you tap there into the warehouse execution systems, are you thinking about expanding more towards the warehouse management systems, which means basically the brain of the warehouse compared to the execution side, or is it something that you plan probably for later? That would be the first question.
Yeah, sorry, I think we should wait a little bit before I can answer properly this question.
Okay, thank you. And I had otherwise a follow-on regarding...
First and then communicate.
Yeah. Okay, understood. And then I had a follow-on regarding the systems. I understand that you had here some delays in the execution because of capacity bottlenecks. If you were to quantify these effects, I mean, my question would be basically, should have been sales in systems actually in Q2 been significantly higher than what we've seen? And the second question would be as well, if we hadn't had these effects, what kind of margins would you have posted for systems?
Yeah, sales is not a big difference, but more EBIT. And the EBIT would have been some million higher.
Okay. I get this. And then I had a further questions as well regarding your growth investments that you mentioned in the outlook. At the end of Q1, you were mentioning that you were expecting 45 million of growth investments this year. Firstly, I wanted just to check with you, are these 45 million still valid, first of all? And secondly, are these only the effects that we would see in the P&L, which means that probably there would be further effects observed as well in the cash flow statement in the form of the capitalization of R&D or small acquisitions or participation in startups?
Yeah, it's both. It's both, Philip. We had in the first half of the year, we spent 7 million. And we expect we have some small startup acquisitions, for example, which are coming a little bit later than we thought, and they will then most likely come in second half of the year, and also organic. Real OPEX from our startups. We have our Conyon, for example, where we are now ramping up the FTEs, and therefore we believe that we will have a bigger chunk in second half of the year.
Okay. So and just
to follow up. CapEx, part of it OPEX. It's difficult to forecast what will be OPEX and CapEx. Yeah.
Okay.
Perhaps 50-50, something like that.
Okay, great. Understood. And also regarding your CapEx guidance, which you quantified at roughly 4% for next year, is that including only the tangible CapEx, or is that including as well the capitalization of R&D?
Yeah, also R&D capitalization. That's also included.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Again, as a reminder to ask a question today, please press star 1. We will now take our next question from Richard Schramm from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Mohn. I have a follow-up just on this last point, the growth investments. I'm still struggling to see if this 45 million mentioned earlier will be really showing up fully in the P&L as a burden and drag down the reported EBIT, or if only a certain portion of this will be effective here in the P&L and others are more capitalized or going into the investment side. So because as you just mentioned, only 7 million have been consumed in H1, this would leave, more or less the major chunk for the second half year, about 20 million per quarter. So can you shed a bit more light on this one, please?
Yeah, I can only repeat what I said when we had the last call. It's not so easy to the organic part we can easily somehow calculate and have a feeling for, but if there is an M&A deal in a startup where we acquire 18% of such a company, yeah, then it is only CapEx what we show. And that is the purchase price. But if we would buy a 22% and would have it in the P&L as an equity consolidated company, then of their OPEX of the second half of the year, we would have to show 22%. Or if we buy the majority, it is even different, then it would show up in every line of the P&L, their costs, with 100%. Yeah. And that are reasons why it is very difficult to foresee what is OPEX and what is CAPEX. And on top of that comes the uncertainty if such deals will be executed or not. So we unfortunately have to live here with some uncertainty and a bandwidth of guidance only.
Okay, so then visibility is pretty low in this respect, so I take from this. So then maybe turning to the sales guidance, which should, according to the strong order backlog you take forward, have a much better visibility, and taking your assessment that second half should see more or less stable development year on year, I really have difficulties to struggling with your 3.3 billion sales guidance, because I would arrive at a clearly higher number, even assuming that systems and robotics might at the end of the day really be only stagnant versus previous year in the second half. So how do you see this?
In the second half of the year, we expect that there will be less auto business compared to first half. Yeah, if you then look, for example, into robotics, then if an auto customer is buying some robots and taking it from the frame contracts we have with them, then it's all a big number of robots, so a lot of volume and high revenue by one order. But in the second half of the year, we expect more general industry orders, which will be helpful for the margin, but is lower volume. Yeah, the average number of robots per general industry customers is something like 2 robots. Yeah, so we don't expect this high volume effect in the second half of the year. And in general, for the auto business, we are a little more cautious for the second half of the year because, you know, all the discussions we have currently in Germany will increase uncertainty. And we have to see how that will result in the capex spend of the auto customers. That's main. And on top of that, there comes some FX minus something like 40-50 million we expect from the FX, because the mainly dollar and renminbi are weaker, and we expect to be weaker in the second half of the year, and that all then results in the guidance of 3.3 billion euro.
Okay, and last
Perhaps there's also some part of conservatism in, but that we will find out in the next call in November.
Okay. And just for my understanding, you mentioned in systems that in the first half, due to these capacity constraints you had, sales were not affected, but only EBIT. So I have difficulties to understand this, because if a project is delayed, I would assume that you neither book sales nor the corresponding profits. Or do you have, via POC, no problems in booking the sales as planned, but only the additional cost?
Yeah, it is for sure a little sales effect too, but the higher leverage is for sure in the EBIT.
So any quantification on this?
No, sorry. It's a very low double-digit euro amount.
On the EBIT line?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
We will now take our next question from Denise Molina from Morningstar. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks so much for the call. I just wanted to go back to a comment you made previously about in the call about wanting to take in more of your own hardware and software for the warehouse business. I was just wondering, what do you think is important for you to do on your own? Where do you think you'll be focusing?
Yeah, good question. From a strategic point of view, we believe that we have to focus on some business areas at Swisslog and concentrate on fast growing areas where we are really good at, and not take on board every logistics project. That is one decisive thing. The second is that we want to be vertically better integrated. Yeah, to own competences, conveyor and all of that, also software. And then I think important is that we get our costs better managed via the global, making use of the global KUKA organization, and there go more towards low cost areas. That's also an important topic. And then if we then have the orders intake like now, we will see from a certain break-even point where we cover the fixed cost. Yeah, so we try to get down the fixed cost level and get down the break-even level, and if then we are above this break-even level, then I think margin might go up quite nicely.
Okay. And if you think about the markets where you're strong, the end markets, I guess pharma would be one of those, but are there other ones where you see yourself as being?
Yeah, pharma is for sure one, then consumer goods, and light goods is one of them in e-commerce.
Great. Thank you very much.
We will now our next question. Okay, it appears the participant may have stepped away. Again, as a reminder to ask a question today, please press star 1. We will now take a follow-up question from Philippe Lorrain from Berenberg. Please go ahead. Philippe, if you're using a speakerphone, can you please pick up the handset?
Yeah, excuse me. I just had actually a follow-on question regarding systems, basically the automotive business could be including some robots as well. You were mentioning actually the uncertainty surrounding the discussion that you have in Germany currently, or that OEMs have currently in Germany. I appreciate that point. And you mentioned as well the volatility basically in the call-offs of different customers. I wanted to check with you. I had the impression that there were some rumors spread in the press that you are supplying a big fleet of robot to Tesla in H1 and probably particularly more in Q2 for the launch of the Model 3. Would it also explain why you are a bit more conservative when it comes to guiding on the automotive business towards H2?
Not because of such a customer. Yeah, we have, in general, we see a higher, not only one customer, but also some German customers and American customers, Chinese local ones. We see a significantly higher, or we saw a significantly higher number of orders and revenue with auto customers in first half than we expect it for the second half of the year.
Okay, thanks. And then a last follow-on, actually. If I remember correctly, at the Hanover Fair now a couple of years ago, you were showing a new concept for automating, for instance, the final assembly of cars, or making, let's say, production plants for the automotive industry much more flexible. And if I remember correctly, this concept was called the Matrix. I just wanted to ask you how far your discussions with OEMs have progressed with regards to that kind of concept, and if with the emergence of now electric vehicles, some manufacturers were thinking about automating more and more the final assembly steps.
Yeah, I can tell you that we are in discussions with OEMs about exactly this concept, and today at one of the big customers of us, our team is exactly talking about that concept. Just today.
Okay. And do you have any view on the kind of lead time regarding when you could book this kind of projects, provided that the customers are interested?
Oh, I think that's too early to give some view on that, yeah. I think it's a new concept and difficult to say when something like that will be won and then realized.
Okay, thank you very much.
But I know that we are talking with customers about it, and they are very interested to discuss it, and they see potential for them that is a concept where they can produce cars more flexible and more efficient.
Mm-hmm. Okay, appreciate the caller. Thank you very much.
As there are no further questions in the queue, that will conclude today's question and answer session. I would now like to turn the call back to your host for any additional or closing remarks.
Okay, thank you a lot for participating, and have a great day.
Yeah, thank you very much. Goodbye.
That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.